Yes, hi, I'm Sonia Blake, and I manage older people's day services in the Isle of Man, which is a posh way of saying I manage the five elderly day centres that are based all around the island.
Perfect. And for anyone who maybe doesn't have experience with the day centres, can you just give us a little taste of what that actually means, like sort of on a day-to-day, what services do you provide there?
I think we have got a maximum of 15, and we are kind of all things to all people. We have people who kind of come for social isolation, really to kind of get away from the fact that they're living on their own, they're not seeing very many people, right through to people who kind of come where their spouse may need a bit of care as respite, so they may outwardly not realise what they're getting from it, but it's given that care a little bit of respite as well. So everything and everything in between.
And we're talking today specifically about this form that you've developed, and I know you've been shouting it from the rooftops, but tell me, so first of all, I suppose what it's for and where it's used. Like, is it used in the day centre? Whereabouts is that placed, that form?
So it's called About Me, and it really just focuses on five things that matter most to the person. It was very much created with the mind of it being in an environment where people were time poor. So actually not so much day services, where we've actually got time to spend with people. So it was kind of really the brainchild of when I was with my mum, who was in hospital, who was kind of in the later stages of Alzheimer's, and wanting the staff to know her when I wasn't there, to know her, what made her feel safe, really, yeah. Isn't it? So it kind of centres on five key things, really. So it could be what comforts a person, or it could be what distresses them, it could be what they value. But they're little kind of like nuggets that you can start a conversation with that will make that person feel that who they're talking to is not the enemy, that they're a friend, really. And it is kind of that simple.
Yeah, because it's that, I mean, we chatted a little bit off mic about that kind of division between, you know, when you've got someone with dementia or Alzheimer's, that like physically they might be feeling physically safe, but they might not mentally necessarily know they're safe, or vice versa, they might be they don't know who this person is. Mm-hmm. And so how do you make them feel comfortable then?
Yeah, very much so. And I think we all have like a short-term memory, so that gives us context of where you are. So it's nearly like, I always kind of like try and explain to us, how would you feel? So how would you feel if you suddenly woke up in a new bed, in a new place, maybe in a new country, and didn't know any of the faces? And sometimes that's what it feels like for somebody, you know what I mean? Mm. With depending on how far along they are in their journey with Alzheimer's, really. So it's that smile. It's knowing that person coming towards them with maybe a clipboard is smiling at them, looking up at that form, realizing that they've got a cat called Poppy, and striking up a conversation about cats. Mm. And it really is that simple. It was quite personal to me because it came in relation to my mum. So when we talk about kind of like little bits, what is kind of meaningful to a person, but it's also important to think about what might potentially distress a person. Mm-hmm. So we can kind of prevent everybody doing that, really. So with my mum, it was her shoes. So whenever she seen her shoes, she knew that she was able to leave. Mm-hmm. That was it. It was always the way. But because of where she was in the Alzheimer's journey, she didn't know the word for shoes. I knew what she meant, but nobody else would know what she meant. So when she was saying, can you get my shoes? It could be, can you get my bread? You know what I mean?
Right.
So nobody else would know that. Mm. So by putting that over somebody's bed, ensure that this lady always, or ensure that Mary always sees her shoes, that becomes a responsibility of everybody, because it becomes a responsibility of the consultant that walks in and sees it. It becomes a consultant of the housekeeper who suddenly doesn't think, a pair of shoes there, I'm going to put them under the bed in case somebody trips on them. So it's just little nuggets of information that sound really, really simple, but are actually really, really powerful on how that person is feeling.
But do you think it also marries up that idea of that we have an awful lot of carers on the island who are caring for their loved ones, and we might not always hear from them, and they're doing this work every day, and then you have the medical professionals who dip in at just sort of random points because it's this person's been hospitalised, or there's, you know, whatever it may be, and marrying up actually how important that work that's been done at home is, because they know them best, and so how to transfer that into that medical setting then.
Exactly right, because I was fearful of constantly leaving my mum, because I was like, but they don't know, they don't know her. And I think having those little bits, nuggets of information, actually made me feel a little bit more secure that that person would know that, you know, don't lie my mum flat on the bed because, you know, when she wakes up, she can see the ceiling and she can't see any, you know, can't see anybody else. And I think that the carer's voice is so key to that, because we talk a lot about experts by experience. And, you know, that is the carer, isn't it? You know, they know the little things that to get the best out of the person. They know when they're feeling kind of distressed. And I think that it's something that I'm working along with other professionals in Manx care to bring forward what's called the Johns campaign. And that is to give, so all of the professionals can see the carers, not just as visitors, but as equal care partners. And I think that's got massive benefits for both sides, isn't it? It's a big win. I think we need to go a lot further in valuing that care experience.
Absolutely. Hear. So the About Me form then, how does it work? Are they doing it when they actually are going into the settings, or how is it available to people?
I'm trying to saturate the system in every way. Yeah, as I said, I come along and go, there she is with her form again. So everything from the beginning part of it, so older people's mental health, you know, ask the people who are maybe newly diagnosed, you know, fill this out, pop it in your hospital bag, laminate it, have loads of them everywhere. So it's already done before you get to hospital, present it and say, I want this over, you know me, I want this over my bed. Working with third sector and stuff as well, to kind of like when they meet people, the Admiral Nurses and Alzheimer's Society, to say, you know, this would be key. Again, I think it's a two-stepped approach. Take control of it if you can as a carer or person who has been diagnosed. Have it there, have it in your hospital bag ready. But if they haven't, you know, getting the wards to just spend, you know, 5 or 10 minutes with that carer before they leave that person. Fill it out and then put it in. Yeah. It has been trialled very successfully on the frailty unit in Ward 6, and obviously that's only hopefully the start of it.
Yeah, you say you're hopeful that, the fact that it's getting a good response there, that actually we might see this rolled out more and more.
Definitely. That's my aim, is to kind of go around every time I'm visiting somebody to go, where's that form?
Yeah. It will be across Manx Care, because
Sonia's going
to make sure.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
So it's that, bringing in your own personal experiences in it into it. But and so when you say it's been received really well on the frailty ward, is that from carers, is that from staff, is that from everyone, you know, is it seen across the board, actually this is a really good thing?
I think everybody, I think like there's loads of work to be done, you know. People have what we would call form fatigue. You know, it's difficult, isn't it? You know, you're coming in, you're going, it's just another form. And you know what? It is just another form if it's not used, you know, and it is just another form if it's not valued. And I think where I'm coming from is sometimes I feel like it needs to be valued in the same way as a piece of medical paperwork. Because I think when we were talking before, it's about prioritising that psychological safety alongside the physical care, and that all care should start with safety. Because all care should come from a place of that person feeling safe, really, isn't it? And
absolutely.
It is, for me, I've not heard one person say, well, but what if? Because I don't think there is a but what if.
For simple, it's a good concept.
Yes, and it doesn't cost any money.
Perfect.
Yeah.
which is helpful, And so, I don't know, forgive me, this is a completely different topic, but you're going away soon, aren't you, to a conference?
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that then?
Yeah, so that's the ADI conference. So it's the Alzheimer's Disease International, and that's in Lyon from the 14th to the 16th of April. And this form has been accepted as an abstract. So I feel very honoured that it is, and feel very lucky to be kind of like on the same, not stage necessarily, but even in the same place as some world-class speakers and experts on, you know, on Alzheimer's, really. And for me, kind of coming out, it's so important at the moment, all the work and that's been done in the space of research and prevention. But we also just need to get really good at really simple things that makes people who are living with dementia's life better, because it's affecting so many of us. It's affecting so many families. I think they said the last was 37% of the population, you know somebody, you know, with some form of dementia. So we have to get better at it. You know what I mean? So we have to think of the simple workarounds while we're waiting on the bigger solutions, really. And we have to kind of, if it's not been done, we have to hold people accountable to why it's not been done. And I think that's the basis of the conference. Obviously, that's kind of the message I'll be trying to get across whenever I speak to people at the conference. But it's also just an amazing opportunity to kind of highlight what we as an island and Manx Care as well are trying to do in that dementia space as well, yeah. Isn't it? You know, I'm not sure if anybody from the Isle of Man has ever been represented at this conference, but I can imagine I can take loads and loads of stuff away from it as well that I can come back and loads of really important connections as well.
Yeah, it's like one of those things you're going to meet other experts in this field. I mean, you say there that you feel really like honoured to be going over there, but I think the key thing that's like so impressive about it is that actually at the core of this, it's something you developed because of your mum. And I think that's the thing with like a lot of Alzheimer's care in general and dementia care. I think if you have an experience of it in your life and your family, you realise that actually it's these little things that make a huge difference mm-hmm. to patients' kind of quality of life as well, alongside the medical stuff. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to maybe hear from you when you get back to hear.
Definitely, yeah.
What sort of research and what sort of things were presented at the conference? Is it a lot of stuff rooted in that kind mm-hmm. of personal care, mm-hmm. or is it a lot more of the sciencey? You know, like, yeah. It'd be interesting to hear.
Yeah, because there is obviously a big wave now in relation to AI and what that could, you know what I mean, could potentially bring us in kind of like time saving and everything. So I think, you know, I not something really that I'm kind of like massively familiar with, but for me it's very important that we could that kind of thing can capture the stuff that doesn't need to be done by the person, so then the person's got more time you know what I mean to be with the actual person really isn't it. So
brilliant. Well, is there anything we have missed or anything you want to add at all?
Oh golly, not really. Other than the fact that it is, as I said, there's too many of us affected now, not to be thinking how can we help people live well mm-hmm. with it. You know, how can we help them live in the moment? Because I think the moment is the key thing. So the moment kind of brings the negativity of the fact that you can't contextualize yourself. So it does make you feel unsafe. So it's really important that we make people feel safe. But the fact that you can live in the moment sometimes releases you from the baggage of everything else that we live with. So I say, you know, bring the person out and let them see the sea, let them have the sunshine, do you know what I mean, mm-hmm. on their face, mm-hmm. you know, smile, sit down and give them a tea. So we can kind of nearly make what is horrific and the sense of loss about everything just little tiny moments, isn't it? Because we're going to have to, you know, it's here to stay, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So, as I said, I do feel, because of the amount of population that are affected, we've all got our part to play in just making that person feel a little bit better.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.